Welcome to Unplug Podcast, where Jesus is at the center of every conversation. Join us as we explore the teachings of Christ and the impact on mental health, spirituality, and everyday life. Discover how faith in Jesus can help provide hope, healing, and purpose in a world full of challenges. Subscribe now on YouTube and your favorite podcast platforms to stay connected to the Unplug community. Unplug from the world and plug into Jesus.
Hi, mental health warriors.
Hi.
Thank you for joining Unplug Podcast, where we critically discuss the intersectionality between faith, politics, and mental health. I'm Jasmine Garrett, mental health enthusiast.
And I'm Dr. Kelly.
And thank you in advance for your time. So today is going to be a little different. Pastor and I had a couple talks.
Yep.
Today, our topic is bullying. And trust me when I tell you, there was so much that we could have talked about today. There's so much that has happened. I'm talking Epstein files. I'm talking people getting arrested that are political officials getting arrested for trying to ask questions at town halls. We got Gaza. We got a lot going on, guys.
Yep.
There is so much I could have put on today's show, but yep. I felt the Holy Spirit was like, nah, you need to talk about bullying because the core of what you are what you're seeing has to be addressed. And that spirit, that bullying concept needs to be dissected and addressed in a Christian way, because if we don't go to the root of the problem, we just going to keep experiencing new versions of the same problem.
Yeah, right, the same cycle.
Not today, Satan. Not today. So we're going to talk about this for real, for real.
Amen.
But we'll start off, per usual, with our mental health moment.
Amen.
So this week was quite a week.
Oh.
last week, when I was in service, Pastor Carolyn, First Lady, she told us to expect miracles. Mm. And man, I had a powerful week. And I mean that both ways. I had some powerful things that I was praying for that appeared.
Okay.
And then I had the enemy say, oh, let's match that same energy. Just give up the craziest week. But no, in all realness, my mental health moment this week is I have a dear friend that I am praying for that is going through a manic episode.
Mm.
And I'm doing my best.
Currently. Mm.
I am in deep prayer for him, and I am praying that he seeks help, and that hasn't happened. And there's only so much you can do.
Mm.
There is only so much you can do. You can pray for them. You can ask them. You can keep communication, but ultimately it has to be God that steps in and pushes that person to the posture of wanting to get help. So that was just the challenge for me this week of how to be there and present and strong and prayerful and in light of someone else's decision making that could be harmful.
Mm.
So you just got to pray through it. You got to learn the Christian way to be there for your friends when they're not okay. And that's all that you can do.
Mm.
That's it. So that was my mental health moment. What about you, Pastor?
Ooh, where do I begin? Is it just one or is it a string of many, many? You know, let me see if I can think of one that I can just, I won't like to say it's so many of them, but it's just really one.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been candid with my lifetime struggle with clinical depression.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't necessarily have bouts of depression. I live with it. I learned how to live with it, live alongside it.
Yeah.
It's something that's constantly always present. And I can't tell you what was the trigger or what was it that threw me in. I like to use the word tailspin, but sometimes the tailspin seemed a little too dramatic, like I was spiraling and doing all different types of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But I was pretty much down in the dumps. And I always liken it to the Mondays. You know, a preacher told me a long time ago, matter of fact, my pastor who ordained me, he said that, you know, Mondays are the hardest for preachers because you give out so much on Sunday.
Yeah.
it's like you come down and then it's like you're susceptible. It's like you're open to all different types of attacks. Mm-hmm. And so I would always assume, or I would assign how I felt mentally with that. Mm-hmm. I come to find out that it's a part of it. The enemy can use that, my mental illness to, you know, exasperate some things. Yeah. But I was down and, oh, that's what I know what it was. So there's parts of my testimony that a lot of people don't know. Like new people in my life, people who've been knowing me for a while, they know that I come from the streets, know that I used to sell drugs, know that I have been incarcerated, you know, done all different types of things and how God changed my life and gave me a second chance and told me that my life was his. And,
amen.
You know, a lot of that stuff was warning signs for him to say to me, like, hey, if you don't get on my side of the fence, these are the type of things that I will allow to happen to you until you say yes. And so I said yes, and here we are today. Well, early on in, as a young man, when I really truly found salvation, I used to go to church with my grandparents and things like that. And I said I was a Christian because I went to Christian churches.
Right,
but
right.
I never had an experience with God until I met this brother, Frank Hampton, Big Brother Frank. And he wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a pastor. He walked around with a Bible that can fit in his back pocket.
Yes.
And he was just a man that just, he was a real leader, but he was just a man who had a standard. He believed in living right, doing all different types of things. So we knew he was the real deal. Plus, he come from the streets, but God saved him, and he was the real deal. And he was very instrumental in helping me find the Lord, truly.
Amen.
Well, he passed. And, man, like, he's like my real father in the faith. Like, he the one who got me saved. Like, he my real, real, real pastor. Like, and I wanted to go up back home to Michigan to his funeral, but I couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, if anybody funeral I need, that's like a father. You know what I'm saying? If anybody, I need to be at his. But I had already booked my trip to come get my mom the week prior. I mean, week later.
Yeah.
And I was just down, like, man, I just wanted to send my last respects to his family.
Of course.
You know, and I just was down. I felt so, like, inadequate because I couldn't afford to get out there and then go get my mom. And it wasn't, you know, and it wasn't necessarily like an afford thing, but it's like things are assigned to different things. And, you know, you just got to be good stewards and things like that.
Yeah.
And so I was just down, man. And one thing led to another. At first, I just thought I was just down. I shed a tear or whatever when I found out. Because I didn't know he passed. It was on Facebook. And then my dad had called me and was like, you know, your boy died. And I thought he was talking about Michael Jamal Warner. Because that was the same time. I said, oh, yeah, Carolyn seen that. I see that sad man. I said, you know, Theo. He was like, no, Big Frank. I said, Big Frank? I said, hang on. Click. Went to his wife's page. It was there.
Dang.
And, I think I was done until Friday when I saw his wake. And they shared his wake, man. That mother was packed.
I'm sure.
What? I mean, this guy, man, he didn't have a church. He didn't have a pulpit. Now, he was a member of a church, his family church, but he wasn't the pastor. He didn't preach or nothing. But he changed so many people's lives. So many people looked up to him. And it wasn't until I saw that I felt better. And I started thanking God for his being instrumental in my life. But I felt so just heartbroken because I couldn't be there, you know. And I cried and cried and cried. Then watching the wake, just crying, 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 hearing all the stories and all that stuff. And I said to myself, I said, God, I want to be like that. Everybody they celebrated because they knew he was in heaven because he was a saved guy.
Yeah.
He's in heaven. Everybody went crazy, you know, and all of that type of stuff. I never seen that before. You talk about people having a celebration of life. At the end, they went crazy. They was running around. They went crazy because they knew he was in heaven.
Yeah.
But that is what made me, you know, feel a little better about it, you know. So I'm going to try to I'm going to get up there and hopefully I can, you know, I know the dirt might be still be fresh. I'm going to try to see if I can go and say my respects at his tombstone, gravesite. Yeah.
My heart goes out to you.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. I mean, I'm a lot stronger, but he's a, so my wife got a chance to meet him because they had like a church revival.
Oh,
and this is a holiness church. This is a real holiness church. Like the men wear long sleeves, the women don't wear pants. They wear long, you know, they wear long dresses. Kind of look Amish. And so, but they have real church, like real church. They sing the old songs. When you go in there, it looks like something in the 60s, like the way they dress and everything. Mm. No watch TV, don't play cards. They kind of real, they real, real strict like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I needed that because I was so far gone. I needed a.
It has its place.
Yeah. Oh, and it's real. Oh, yeah, it's definitely real. So she had met him or whatnot, him and his wife or whatever, and we went out and had lunch with them and the rest of the church or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was like, they dress so old school. You ever seen, like, you know, the pilgrims and stuff like that? Yeah. Like, it was like that. Like, it was like, yeah, man. I said, but it's power there. I said, it's power. But, yeah, that was.
Shout out to the Amish.
Yep.
Much love to the Amish.
Church of God Jackson, the realest church in the world. God bless
him. I love that. I'm glad Carolyn got to meet her. Meet him.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But, you know, it breaks. I relate to you because I've had, like, 5 funerals in 2 months. So, like, I get it. Like,
yeah.
I relate to you, and the pain of not being able to go and give your respects is just, it's so hard.
Yep.
Because you're already mourning, but you can't even do it in a way where you feel like you're properly processing it.
And that goes a lot to closure.
Yeah.
You know, because
it does.
Mm-hmm.
I want, you know what, I'm gonna speak this prophetically over this church. I want Hope Houston to be different. I want us to be prosperous in the way where we can help people that have immediate family members or immediate needs to go and pay respects.
Amen.
And that not be burdensome to what we can do financially to support our brothers and sisters in their grief.
Amen.
I want that.
Amen.
And I'm gonna speak that. I'm gonna speak that over this church.
Amen. And thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Because I'm speaking that same prayer.
Yeah.
And not to get off track, but even in where we are now, we're still doing things like,
yes.
You know, it was people here who we, to this Sunday, who we helped, you know, stay in a hotel because they ain't got no places to go 100%. And things like that. And so God is using us to be that place you prophetically are speaking about.
But, and so this is a part of what I love about Host Houston. Pastor will put himself first. In light of taking care of the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
So if the sheep has immediate needs of, you know,
water,
place to stay, doesn't matter if it's $10, he will put his needs last. And I want this to be a house of prosperity because this is the Lord's house.
Amen.
We don't pay tithes because we want gold chandeliers. We pay tithes to be able to support the people of God in need.
Amen.
That is what it's for.
So that people can say God is real.
So people can say God is real. The favor of the Lord is spread through each other in community.
Yep.
So I love that you put yourself last, but I want us to be so prosperous that everyone, including you,
mm-hmm.
including First Lady,
mm-hmm.
are able to meet those needs and be able to process properly.
Amen. Because a lot of times, you know, like even this last time, mm-hmm. you know, I came out of pocket. The church really didn't have that to do, but I did it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm getting ready to take a trip. And I need it.
Yeah.
But God says no.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's a seed. I'm like, okay, God. And we did it. And so God continues to meet all of our needs as long as we being obedient to him. So I want to encourage you with that word too. You've been obedient and you got some great things on the way.
Amen.
As
I
well
receive
as currently
that. I receive
happening.
I receive. And I haven't got to the glimmer moment, but God is good. It, when you're faithful, it's a different, you're building your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I say, oh, Christianity is a relationship with Jesus. A coworker is a relationship. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay.
It is a relationship. Yeah. How deep is your? Are you working to deepen the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Judas had a relationship with Jesus.
Yep.
Where your relationship at? Are you building it?
Mm.
Is it sincere? Is it getting stronger? right? So, like, in my walk, my goal is to get closer to Jesus every single day. And if I'm not doing that, I'm failing at my own goal. He has to be my goal. The way that you can protect yourself from the enemy, or not necessarily protect yourself, but the way that God operates in protecting you from the enemy is, do you want him more than anything else?
Absolutely.
Do you want the relationship with him more than anything else? That's what the fear of the Lord is. It's not you being terrified of God. God's your father.
Yep.
It's the fear of not being with him.
Amen. That's why your voice needs to be heard. That's why I'm so thankful that we're on the same team. Because that experience, that heart that you have for people, that's going to help a lot of people. We need that. You know, that's a standard. That's an example that you're talking about. People want to look for that in people, and you have it. Mm. And so the more God continues to stretch us and grow us and give us capacity to receive more of his children,
yeah,
he's going to call on us to have hearts like that and to display that.
Yeah.
And so that's what's up, man.
Lack is the enemy. Woo. There is no lack. We serve a God of abundance. Everything that you see belongs to him.
My God.
There is no lack. So if you're experiencing lack, it's just we gotta bind together with the principles that join us.
Yep.
And that is Christ.
Yep.
So we can do it. I know
Amen.
We can.
Amen.
I'm gonna keep staying faithful, and I'm going to believe for more. And
Amen.
I'm going to pray, and we're going to see God move. I know that.
And you shall. You say you reap what you sow, but you have not because you ask not. And I believe that you're sowing. Say it and sow it.
Amen.
So you're saying it prophetically. You're,
yes.
You're speaking life.
Mm-hmm.
You're speaking God's promises, and you're sowing at the same time.
Amen, amen.
You ain't going to do nothing but reap.
That's it. That's what it's going to have to be.
Yeah.
Glimmer moment. So I had a really, like I said, this week was just 1-2 punches. Just there's a whole bunch going
right,
on.
Right.
I had some really interesting stuff happen at work. I got several awards in one day. I got like
Whoa.
3 awards in one day. And if I look at the whole week, I
wait,
got
wait,
like
wait, 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 wait. Okay, okay. Go ahead.
No, no.
I'm gonna ask my question afterwards.
But if I look at the whole week, I got like 5 awards that week. There's only 5 Whoa. Work days in a work week. So God is good. I've received
okay.
I've received acknowledgement for, you know, the work that God has blessed me to be able to achieve. So God is good.
Yes.
But please ask your question, because you're about to go to the clip real quick about the real glimmer moment.
which clip was that?
It's not a clip. It's the.
Oh, okay, okay,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, you had sent me and Pastor a text message about something that you was dealing
oh,
with.
Yeah.
So you got an award despite that?
Despite that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Once
despite
again.
Despite of that. Yeah, but my real glimmer moment, the highlight of my entire week, I would say, is I found out that my home state of Illinois
mm-hmm.
has made some moves, and this is, and I talked about this, I think, in the first podcast that I ever was asked to do, and I said, you know, these politicians, they don't care about the kids, they don't care about you, they don't care about your mental health. If they did, after the first shooting ever in life happened at a high school or a middle school, they would have made it mandatory for every kid to have a mental evaluation
yep.
if they cared.
Yep.
But that's not their care. They don't care about that. There's no money in it for them. There's
yep.
no organization that's trying to write them a check for their campaign
yep.
to make sure these babies are mentally well.
Yep.
So why would they do it? They're not going to. Until my home state of Illinois came with it. Our governor signed into law that we are going to have mandatory mental evaluations for all the kids in the state of Illinois starting 2026, 2027.
God.
Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Okay, Pastor, go ahead. And
I'm trying
you
to
gonna
get
pull
you
it
get
up?
It. I'm trying to
but
get
no,
you get it.
It makes me even more proud of my state. I feel like 2025, Illinois, Chicago is just coming with it. We got a Pope, and now we got mandatory mental health evaluations.
Yeah.
Like, God is good. Can't nobody tell me prayer don't work. Period. Okay.
Amen.
God be showing up with Amazon Prime delivery on these prayers. Okay. So I ain't gonna hold you. It's straight nothing but facts and truth.
Yep.
And I'm grateful for it.
I got it. I'm just trying to pull it up.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But no, God is good, and we're seeing the work in the mental health space, and all we can do is keep praying for that. Keep that at the forefront.
Amen.
Of our thoughts and our prayers, and be vocal, be active to make certain that we're doing what we need to be doing to make it happen.
Absolutely. So we have here that mental health is important throughout life, starting in early childhood.
Amen, amen.
About 16% of children under 6 have clinically significant mental health concerns that mm-hmm. require early intervention.
Absolutely.
But there is also, I don't know why they gave me that one. Oh, there we go. Pardon me.
No worries. But no, this is progress.
Yes.
For everything that we do here at Unplugged, this platform is designed specifically to try and highlight all the progress being made in this mental health space. And
absolutely.
God is good, because Illinois is one of the first states to do this.
Absolutely.
And I cannot wait for this to catch on.
Absolutely.
I need all 49 of y'all.
I, be honest with you, I can't think of any state, what other state that they should start with first other than Chicago. It's so, been so much trauma and stuff going on.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I love my city, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Jeffrey Gadir wrote a powerful book, PTSD, post-traumatic slavery disorder, and it talks about how the trauma from slavery went through our DNA and how it impacted our mental health and mm-hmm. how we are even as kids, kind of like, crack babies, parents who've ingested drugs and stuff, and you know, it impacted the kids. Well, all of those shooters and violence, the gangs and all that stuff in Chicago, all of the corruption and stuff that's not just unique to Chicago, but highly consecrated there. I believe that this is a godsend. This is needed, because it's a lot of kids that's growing up in certain situations, households, been exposed to certain traumatic things, and they don't have a language for it. They don't have nothing, but maybe they can get these mental health screenings and get some help or referral or something that they probably wouldn't have got had this not been in place. So good job, Illinois.
Absolutely. And in other news, another Illinois political official stated that they're not running for office in 2020.
The representative, the senator.
Yes.
Wait. The old what's his name?
He's served for like 40 years.
Representative.
Yeah.
He's powerful.
He is, but he's now seen what this has shaped up to be, and it's against his actual civil duty. And I respect it. I respect it when you say, listen, this is no longer an avenue that is helping our people. And if I'm going to be true to the actual goal of helping people, I'm going to find another way to do it.
I thought he was retiring for age.
So,
I'm not a fan of giving up. If you got any form of power, I'm not a fan of giving up that power in protest, unless the powers that be are making you use that power in a way that's against your people. Other than that, okay, I'll give it up. But I'm not giving up no seat of power where I can really effectuate change, because I don't like what's going on.
I mean, I'd have to speak more to the latter of what you just said. I think that that's where we're at. And he's not the only one to say that I'm not going to run anymore. Kamala even said she's not going to run for office.
Maybe because she understands that. She's read the tea leaves. And
not the tea leaves.
And she realized, you know, them people that supported her the first time, they supported her because they had no other choice.
Oh,
it was either
God.
Her or the orange guy. Mm. But given other choices, I think that she might not. She might have did the math and said, you know what, let me go on this book tour and get this money and become an advisor and all that type of stuff and get this bread, because
I love it.
Yeah.
You know what? Because again, you and I are purple, so we don't have any particular political affiliation.
Right.
I would love to see a mixed ticket.
That hasn't happened in a long time. A Republican
vice president and a Democratic president, or a Republican president and a Democratic vice president. I would love a mixed ticket, because there are some people that are just, they have the right mindset regardless of political affiliation to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see a Colin Powell and Michelle Obama ticket. That'd be crazy.
I believe that a mixed ticket is used to heal.
Yes.
Would be a great thing to heal this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that mixed ticket, if it happens, it shouldn't be, you know, the president is the boss and the vice president ain't got no power or nothing
right.
like that.
I agree.
No. We need them both to be, okay, I'm the president, mm-hmm. you're the vice president, but you handle all of this stuff, and I handle exactly. this stuff. And I think that's what we need to bring the country together.
Yeah.
I really do believe the country is more center mm-hmm. Than left or right. And I think in order for that to happen, you can't have an extremist on both sides.
I couldn't agree more.
In the middle.
Yeah.
They have disagreements, but for the greater whole, let's do this.
100%.
But I don't know. I don't know anybody. I ain't seen nobody. Maybe they haven't showed their head yet, but I ain't seen nobody who's willing to do that yet.
To do a mixed ticket?
Yep.
It's a foreign concept. Nobody would think about that unless they're so many people are so allegiant to the party, mm-hmm. they would never think of that. But I think it would work.
Okay, so give me, not to get off topic, give me, if you had a perfect ticket that would be a mixed ticket, it don't matter who's at the top of the ticket at the bottom, who would those two individuals be?
Anybody?
Anybody.
I would do, you know. I'd say Michelle and Colin Powell, but Colin's a little older.
Right.
And he's resigned. He was done after the Bush administration. Mm-hmm. He's dead. Y'all play mm-hmm. too much.
Yep.
Maybe Bernie? And Bernie who? Sanders? And
I don't think Michelle will get along with Bernie.
I think Michelle's done. I think the Obamas in general are just like, we're done with it. And yeah. I got to respect it because this political shifting that has happened, I'm going to say the past 20 years mm-hmm. of politics has just gotten grimy.
Mm.
We've seen some griminess happen. And if it feels like the more of a household name you are, the more controversy, not necessarily your best foot forward in helping people.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I think Condoleezza Rice is extremely intelligent,
mm.
but I feel like she shot herself in the foot with her allegiances to things that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
If we could remove that, because she's no longer a part of that administration, I think her intellect would be phenomenal inside of that space. So I feel like if Condoleezza and Bernie could come to some sort of conclusion, that'd be great. But she has also retired.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the Conservative Party had so many true conservatives, like actual old school Republicans. Being a Republican just meant that you were fiscally responsible.
You're cheap. You don't want to spend no money on
you. Nothing. You believe in right. defense spending, and you believed in some were heavy with education. Yeah, but that was essentially it.
But the thing is, they go overboard on the defense defense. So all the money you would have been spending everywhere else, you just spent here.
America. but that's
all. Really saving nothing, right?
It didn't mean anything other than you were trying to be fiscally conservative. Yeah. That's all. It didn't mean that you had any other ideologies affiliated with that. And those Republican minds are like, let's just balance the budget.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone, and now we have a lot more ideological Republicans that have nothing to do with the actual budget and what we're spending on, but more so opinions about how you need to live your life. And I'm like, yo, can we balance a budget?
Yeah.
Our military has yet to pass an audit.
I know.
So.
And don't get me started, because they're spending the money on the UFOs and the black programs and all that other stuff, but. No.
Can y'all pass an audit? You know what happens to me if I can't pass an audit? Y'all ain't been able to pass the audit. So it doesn't matter who's president, Democrat or Republican, y'all ain't balancing this budget.
Yep.
Your budget needs to be balanced. Yep. Okay, if I got to balance my budget, you got to balance yours.
Yep.
So that's how I feel. But what about you? Can you think of a mixed ticket that would be really good?
I like Wes Moore, the governor of, I think, Maryland, is he?
Mm.
He was a black man. I think he's young.
Okay.
I think he's progressive,
uh-huh.
you know, but not too far. He ain't too far on the extreme.
Yeah.
I think he's level head. I think he would be a good top of the ticket Democrat.
Okay.
And for vice president, I think about that their personalities have to mesh.
Mm.
You don't really want to. You want a number two that's strong enough to handle everybody under y'all, but not so overpowering that they want to be the loudest voice in the room. Mm-hmm. You want them to be more of a supporting cast member. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking like Westmore at the top, Democrat, and there was this Republican. I don't know if it's not Kentucky. It was a Republican. Is it Sununu? It's a Republican guy, Southern governor. Mm-hmm. He's a anti-Trumper, if you would. You know, he's wasn't on that MAGA train, but they share some.
There's so many Republicans that are anti-Trump. It's not even funny because he's not. He's not what the original Republican Party was.
Yeah, but I think that would be a good thing. You know, a white man at the top, and a other at the bottom. Amen.
Jesus.
I didn't mean it. I'm just saying. I just wanted Westmore to be at
when
the top
you edit
of the ticket.
This, don't make that one of the clips, because Lord, he said a white man at the top and an other at the second. Jesus.
I said the white man at the top.
Yes, what you said.
I thought I said a black man at the top.
No, you said a white man.
Oh,
I'm
my bad.
Like,
no,
what?
No. I said Westmore. My bad.
Okay, yeah.
Westmore.
Yeah,
because
the man that you wanted wasn't white.
That was like a Freudian slip that wasn't supposed to slip out. Okay, King White Man, I'm not. You are not my master anymore.
Jesus, fix it,
hey,
God.
But it was, hey, it was her idea that got me in trouble.
Amen. Oh, okay, yep, I'll take that one. So anyway, you got a glimmer moment for us, Pastor?
I have a glimmer moment. I'm going back home to go see my mama. Go pick up my mama. That's a glimmer moment.
That is a glimmer moment. Period.
You know, I'm going. So she don't like to fly. So she made a deal with me. Okay, I'll fly back if I don't got to fly there. I said, okay, I'll come get you. So we're going to go. We're going to do a road trip. We're going to go up there, come back, go see my auntie, her older sister, twin sister.
I love her.
Eat some lunch with them, come on back. And she get a chance to be with her church family. She's been a member since the beginning. You know, she's been in church service a couple times. So. It's going to be good for her to get a chance to fellowship with us. She always missed the days when we eating good and doing stuff in the community and stuff. So hopefully she'll be here long enough for us to get, you know, for her to do something like that. But, yeah.
I love that.
That's my glimmer moment.
You got a road trip with your mommy.
I know. She get on my nerves, though.
Stop it. You're going to talk about your upcoming birthday, Pastor? I'm snitching.
I don't have nothing to, I don't have nothing to report. You know what?
So Pastor's about to have a birthday, y'all, next week.
I know.
Say happy birthday to him in the comments.
Hey, man, that's what they're saying. But so I grew up in a Jehovah's Witness household. So my mother, when she had me, she grew up in church, but she wasn't overly religious.
Uh-huh.
And so when she met my brother's father and they got together, his family was Jehovah's Witnesses, so she just
now
adopted.
Now you going to hall.
Yeah, all day, doing field service and everything.
All day, guys.
I know.
I didn't go on there.
Yep.
Yep,
we was at the Kingdom Hall. We was at all the meetings, doing field service, everything. So I grew up, birthdays weren't really that important to me because we didn't celebrate them, Christmas or whatever. Now every now and then, my mama, she'd do a little something, you know, and I have a party here and there. You know, maybe my grandma, if I go on my dad's side, they'll throw me something. But I never really, I guess, got the great magnitude of a birthday. So it's not important to me. And so I will never give myself a birthday. I'm never one to plan, oh, I'm going to wear this on my birthday. I'm going to do this. I've never.
Really?
No. I don't. I will celebrate other people's birthdays. And I give gifts and I do all that type of stuff. But for me, it's never been important. Unfortunately, I've married a woman who celebrates her birthday all month long.
That's what the good Lord intended.
Right. And so I've been forced to deal with these things. You know what I'm saying? So she tries to make my birthday a big deal. And I think it's because she knows it's just another day to me. I acknowledge it. I thank God for my birthday, but I don't need the celebration. It's no big deal. And she's always looking for a reason.
To celebrate?
Yeah, or to have a birthday party. So, like, Christmases and birthdays, this is ridiculous. I'm really Scrooge. I'm Scrooge McDuck. I'm Scrooge. I'm Bah Humbug. Get that stuff away from me. You know, yes.
I'm going to be your worst nightmare next week.
No.
I'm celebrating your birthday.
Well, see, now y'all scaring me now because I told him. Yeah, okay, we can, you know, do we can eat something afterwards and stuff like that and probably sing happy birthday and stuff, but getting sick of you, that's, I'm gonna be haunted.
You poor thing.
Yeah.
That's funny. So thank you for sharing your glam moment. I appreciate you. So as we mentioned, we wanted to approach today differently because with this climate that we're experiencing, we're seeing a lot of bullying. And not only are we seeing a lot of bullying, I feel like we collectively have kind of forgot what bullying means because we've normalized it so deeply. And that's concerning. That's deeply concerning. Not only have we normalized it and we haven't really figured out how to pinpoint it when it's happening or call it out when it's happening, but even more concerningly, I'm seeing bullying seep into our churches, seep into our pulpits. And that's when all bets are off. We have to be able to protect the faith in spite of what we're experiencing outside of the church doors. And we have to be able to figure out how to practically approach these types of themes like bullying with God's way. Amen. In mind, the Christian way. Amen. In mind. So today, Pastor and I are going to be transparent to transformation.
Okay.
With our experiences with bullying. And then we want to bring it back to what did we learn? What are we supposed to do in those circumstances? So we're going to have a little
this
bit
is
of...
It's going to be so traumatic and triggering.
We're about to go there. Jesus Christ. We're about to go there today. So I'm going to start with you, Pastor.
Okay.
Why? Because you're the leader, and I'm not. But, Pastor, tell me about some of your experiences with bullying.
Oh, where do I begin? Well, first of all, you know, I wasn't big and strong and full of muscles as I am today.
Yeah.
As a young boy, I was very scrawny and skinny and small and short and scary. And in my neighborhood, I grew up in a small town. And, you know, we played sports. We did all that type of stuff. And I was the oldest. I didn't have a big brother. So, you know, I didn't really have nobody to look to or nobody to fight and get me tough and things like that, you know, that a normal big brother would do. So when I got off into the streets, I was kind of just following classmates and different people who I might have looked up to in the hood, but I didn't really have a compass.
Yeah.
So I started getting into the streets and started selling drugs and stuff, and I was smart. I wasn't tough. I wasn't fighting and stuff, but I was smart.
Yeah.
I knew where to go and sell my drugs and make money. Everybody wanted to stand on this corner and fight for the scraps. I was smart enough to go and do my thing. And so when they started noticing that I was, you know, making money and stuff, they started trying to bully me. Instead of asking me, hey, man, what you doing? Or can we get with you or whatever, or show us?
Right.
They started bullying me. So one of the most traumatic things that ever happened to me, there's two. One, there's two that I will share. The other one I won't share. Because it's an open criminal investigation. It's
okay,
not. It's not. It's not open. But
I can't.
The laws of right. The laws of
Tell us everything you did wrong.
Right. So, I was there's this street in my hood called Wood Street downtown. You know, everybody from downtown they know what's Wood Street. Wood Street Market is a famous store on Wood Street, and it's still there to this day. It's changed many owners. You know, it started off with a black owner, Mr. Thomas, and he was like the representative of God in the neighborhood. So it started off good. A black man owned it, and he was a beacon of hope in this impoverished, hood-infested neighborhood. But then he ended up selling it and all different types of stuff. So one day, I go into the store, Wood Street Market, and then I come out. And all the guys I hang out with, these are guys who we make beats at the lunchroom table. We go over each other's house and play Nintendo. We spend the night over each other's house. We play basketball, flag football, everything. These are guys I know. We grew up with each other. Like, we dating each other's sisters and cousins and stuff. It's a small town. Like, we know each other.
Okay.
So I go out, and so everybody's hanging around and stuff and talking and, you know, ranking and cracking jokes on everybody. So I'm sitting there, and I'm laughing. I got my little pop or whatever. And then this one guy, it's these two brothers. Quan, who was my age, and anyways, the other brother, he was about 3 or 4 years older than me. So because I'm skinny, the big brother come behind me and wrap his arms around me so my arms are stuck to my side.
Oh.
And I can't move, I can't move, I can't move. And the other brother go and run my pockets. He put his hands in my pockets.
No.
And he take everything in my pocket. So it's girls out there, oh, little nappy hair little girls.
Why they gotta be nappy hair?
Because they was laughing at me.
Oh, okay.
They pole like everybody else.
I cannot with you.
And the bullying, all this plays part of the bullying. So while I'm being slung around and the guy's reaching in my pockets and I'm like, no, no, stop, stop, man, quit, stop. You know, I'm pleading like, no, man, I need that money, this and that, blah, blah, blah. They run my pockets and the girls are laughing, ha, 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 and I just see it, I see it, I see it. So they let me go, the big brother let me go, and then they run off. And so the crazy part about it was a guy who I went to the store with, who was supposed to be my friend, who pledged his allegiance to me because I was helping him get money.
Because
he was following me. He sat there and watched. He didn't say, hey, man, let him go or nothing. He said, listen, I don't want that to happen to me, so y'all do him.
Dang.
So
the homie folded on you.
Folded, man. Folded like a whip.
Folded
napkin.
Like origami.
Exactly. So that was, they bullied me. And so I had to do something. So I felt like I had to rectify my name.
Yeah.
It's girls out there, nappy headed little girls out there. And at the time, they was
nappy
headed little girls.
Nappy headed girl. I'm a nappy headed girl.
Right. Because we was 14, 15, and they wasn't wearing weaves and wigs back then. They was nappy. Anyway, just like mine was. So I was nappy at a little boy,
yes,
okay?
We love the naps.
All right, but that's who they was because they was laughing. So they out there laughing, and I'm like, man. So I go home, and my mama see I'm upset. What's wrong? What's wrong? Nothing. So mind you, I can't fight. I'm not strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this little padlock. It was on a bike. I said, I'm going to use this as a brass knuckle. I go get my little padlock, and I'm going to go meet them. Now, mind you, they stay on the next street.
Wow, a padlock pastor?
Right. They stay on the next street. So okay. I go over there, and I want to fight Quan because he's the one who put his hands in my pocket, and plus he my size, even though he's the little brother.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Makes sense.
But they said, but here's the thing. They bully me. They rob me. I go to get revenge, but now it's rules and how I can get revenge.
Absolutely.
So the other guys that's there like, no, man, you can't fight Quan because he's younger than you. You got to fight the other brother because we the same age, technically, maybe a year or so off or in the same grade. But he's bigger than me by 100 pounds at least.
Not 100?
Oh, yeah, he was big. Yeah, I was scrawny.
Two padlocks?
I had one padlock. And I think I got one swing off of the padlock. And that padlock slipped off my fingers, and it was over. And that was a lesson that I learned.
In the middle of the punch, it slipped off?
Maybe in the middle of his punch.
He knocked the
Mario and Sonic coins out of me. He knocked the rings out of me.
Jesus.
I can say that now.
Oh, yeah, it's in retrospect. It's hilarious. But I know what
because
wasn't
he died a horrendous death several years later.
Sir.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, Lord.
A house fire.
Oh, God.
Do not touch God's anointed. I know God was fighting for me back then.
My man over here like, absolutely not. Shut it down.
I'm not saying, no, it didn't have nothing to do with me. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, like, you know. I found out years later how he died, that he died. Somebody told me. And when they told me, I don't think I was pastoring or a minister or saved at the time. And
okay.
I was like, oh, okay. That's nice to know. God bless him. You know. And then the other brother is in prison doing indeterminate sentencing.
Indeterminate?
I think he got like 45 years at least to do. Yep.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, them type of Negroes I was dealing with.
Okay. All right. Point taken.
But that was something. That was one of my first encounters with being bullied, and I always was bullied on because I didn't walk around like a tough guy or, you know, all of that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was skinny, and people just used to bully me all the time.
Dang.
Yep.
And you got the padlock.
Got the padlock, mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what changed in you that day?
If you had to pinpoint something that was different after that experience.
Well, I definitely left feeling like I couldn't trust nobody because Julius left me high and dry.
Yeah.
And come to find out, Julius wasn't a good person to carry it anyways because he had stole from my mama. Like, my mom she used to take her watch off and put it on top of the refrigerator, and I would have friends come over, and the watch always be there. So one time, Julius came, and then the watch was gone, and then we didn't know who took it.
No.
Because my friends, and then Julius wasn't necessarily from, he was from another hood, but he used to come over there with where I was at. So all of my homeboys and friends used to come over and play the game. They would leave it alone. That's Mr. Loretta watch, this and that. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't mess with it. And then one time, he stole it, and he ended up trying to sell it to one of my homeboys who knew who watch it was. And guess what they did?
What did they do?
They whooped him all the way.
That's what I'm talking about.
From one end of the hood to the other end of the hood.
For sure.
Yep.
100%.
So I felt afterwards like I wasn't able to trust nobody because the guy who I went to the store with, who was saying, I got your back, we're going to get this money and all of that, he sat there and let them rob me. And then when I went to avenge myself, he was nowhere to be found. And he was older than all of us.
Oh, older than the old guy.
I'm 15 showing a 19-year-old how to hustle. The guy who grabbed my arms, he was like 16, and then the other guy was like 13. You know, we was all young teenagers, but yeah, I was bullied bad.
Dang.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say are some things that you're seeing that's bullying, but on a larger scale? Like, just in today's world, could you pinpoint something that you're seeing? Like,
well, I definitely see the political turmoil in our country, one side over the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you wear a certain color hat with certain type of words on it, you might get a certain look and bullying from one side.
Mm.
And then if you are on the other side, you know, you get a certain type of bullying. If you're advocating for folks, you know. But the type of bullying that I'm seeing is more in the social climate. You see a lot of with the LGBTQ, LMNOP, communities. I've seen a lot of bullying when it comes to young kids.
Yeah.
I think that's become an epidemic. I think part of it has to do with how we see ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But social-wise, I think it's always been, I think kids can be real, really cruel. I think kids can be the cruelest people on earth to other kids and to other people. And I think that's where the bullying is really at.
Yeah.
You got grown folks that's bullying people, but, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, kids are products of their environment.
That's a fact.
They're babies. They're forming. That's a fact. They're developing. So.
That's a fact.
You kind of have to ask yourself, where are they getting that from? Why do they feel that that's okay? What's on the inside that hurts that makes them want to hurt somebody else?
Yep.
So, yeah, I agree. Kids are where we see it the most. But I think in the adult world, these are bullies that never got corrected. And we're still seeing them. We're still seeing them in these streets. Some of them are athletes. Some of them are police officers, some of them are judges, some of them are presidents.
Yep. But the biggest bully.
But
who never got in a fist fight in his whole entire life trying to bully people. Anyways.
When you don't when a bully never gets corrected, they become tyrants in whatever way that expresses itself in life. They were never corrected, so they believe that this is power. This is what power looks like. This is what power feels like. Mm-hmm. And this is how they feel powerful.
Yep.
By exerting their energy to oppress somebody else. And it's like, how did that thought get there? Who told you this? It certainly wasn't God. I can tell you for sure. Man. I don't know how it got there, but it wasn't Jesus.
Yeah, it's sad. Right? So what is your experience? Give me an experience you had with bullying.
I'm gonna give you two. I have a lot of experience with bullying, but I'm gonna give you two that.
And the crazy part about it is, now, I don't know how you used to be, but now you seem like, not only, you'll throw a punch. You might take, somebody swing, but you'll throw a punch back. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't just on the receiving end, like, you're going to fight back, you know, it seemed that way.
Definitely. Well, my childhood was littered with bullying. I I'm a nerd. I got into comics because I was like, I don't want anything to do with any of you people. I'm gonna take this comic. I'm gonna read in the corner. I'm gonna leave you alone. I'm gonna hope you leave me alone. And that's it. And that went for everybody.
For everybody.
Teachers, students, cafeteria lady. I ain't wanna talk to none of y'all. That's a whole nother story. We could do a whole nother podcast on that because they thought I was special because I wouldn't talk to anybody. But I was like 2 years above my grade.
Oh, wow.
But they just
wasn't on your level.
I don't want to talk to anybody. Right, right. I don't care.
Until we start talking about something that's worthy of talking about, I don't need to talk.
Nothing. I don't care what none of y'all got to say. But no, my two most memorable instances of bullying, one was when I was like fresh out of Chicago. And when I was on the streets, yeah, I did things on the streets that I shouldn't have done. I stole food when I was hungry. Mm-hmm. I had to protect myself against people that were trying to hurt me.
Right, right.
So, yeah, that the streets was what was the streets was.
Right, right.
Okay.
It's going to give you that toughness.
That's what it was. But when I was adopted by my aunt, or when she became my legal guardian, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm about to have the life that I see on TV. I'm about to have that Family Matters, that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air treatment. Yep. I'm done with the streets. Everything's good now. Like, so when I was in middle school, I remember this girl, for whatever reason, just didn't like me.
Mm.
And that, again, I was too fat. I was too light. I was hairy. I was an easy target.
Right.
I didn't know how to do my hair. Like, I didn't have fancy clothes. I had Walmart shoes. You know what I mean? I was an easy target. So it was what it was. But for the most part, when I got adopted, I was like, I'm not fighting no more. I don't have to fight for food anymore. Right. I don't have to fight for a place to sleep anymore. I'm not fighting anymore. I'm done. So she was saying what she was saying. I'm like, whatever. We get on the bus. She's still at it. Like, oh, your hair nappy. You
all insecure.
Your sideburns, your eyebrows.
Oh,
you
God.
Got a mustache. You like, I was hairy. I ain't gonna hold.
Right, right, right.
Like, I was a mess. And I'm ignoring her. I'm reading my comic. I'm like, whatever. And I'm in the back of the school bus, and she read me for my life, and I didn't care. And it wasn't until she said, so at that time, my mom was still alive, but she was in a mental facility.
Okay.
Right? So she was talking about me, whatever, blah, 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 turn page. And then she said, your mama.
Ooh.
That was it. As soon as I heard your mama, I jumped over into her seat, and I grabbed her throat, and I choked. This girl.
This is the level I play.
Not only did I choke her, I grabbed her by her throat and I moved her out of the seat.
Yeah.
You know how comfortable you are when you're in the school bus seat. Yep. I grabbed her by her throat, moved her out of the seat. Now I'm on top of her and I'm still choking her. And when I say I'm still choking her, my friend, I actually had friends, all two of them, and they were trying to rip my hands off of her throat
because
she was turning blue. At this point, she's turning blue.
Oh, my
The bus driver was sitting down about to close the doors. The bus driver had to get up, go through everybody on the bus, and it was the bus driver that had to rip my hands from her throat because, again, she was turning blue. Here's the thing. You can make fun of me all day. I don't really care. I have thick skin. It's not going to affect me. But when you come for my family, when you come for the people I love for, you're not dealing with Jasmine that's saved and sanctified. You're not. That's not what you're going to get.
I thank God for people like you, man.
You're not dealing with her. You're dealing with somebody else. Man. You're dealing with Jasmine from the south side of Chicago.
As the older, as the big brother, as the first, I needed somebody like you. I needed somebody to stand up for me. I didn't have that. No big brothers, no big cousins, anything like that. Everybody lived far away. I was by myself. I needed an advocate, somebody like you. Like, don't come for my family. That's powerful.
No, you can't. Mm-hmm. You can say what you want about me. I'm not going to take it personal. But, nah.
You wow, can, you so you went straight for the choke. That's crazy.
Yes. Like, I'm so not fighting leave you. Alone? You're going to die. Did like, you're turning blue.
So what happened? Did she leave you alone? Or did she try to save face or come back? Or?
Well, no. I got to tell you about the consequences of this situation.
Okay.
So the consequences.
Yeah, because she turned blue. That means she died.
Well, she didn't die. She was turning blue. Oh. Like, you know, like, I don't know if you ever choke someone, but first they turn red.
Yeah.
And then they start turning blue.
That's why I say blue is dead. You like.
Blue is bad. Red, you okay. When you get to, looking a little pale and it's getting bluish. And that's when you got to, you're in trouble now.
You need a defibrillator when you start turning blue. Jesus.
So anyway, she had to go to the nurse first before she could meet me in the principal office because they had to check her out. And they call my aunt.
Oh, my God.
This is when you have to understand consequences.
The military lady.
The military aunt.
Oh, my God.
When I tell you she corrected me so bad, I was like, oh, God.
In front of people or when you got home?
No, she did it in the car, and she did it when we got home. Okay. So I will be grateful for that.
Right.
But the discipline was disciplining. Okay? And what and this is probably for all parents out here. Your kid can fight.
Okay.
Okay. Your kid can fight. So when you discipline your kid, you have to understand we're in a situation where, like, I can't hit you. I'm not going to hit you. You're my parent. But that makes this worse.
Oh, my God.
Because I could hit the other person without cost. Mm. You know, you feel me?
Yeah.
So I have to sit here and take this discipline. And I'm like,
So it was physical punishment.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Oh, you got whoopings.
Oh, 100%.
How old were you at this time?
I was in middle school.
Oh, yeah. You probably deserve to get whoopings, though. You hardened from the streets. She had to break all that off of you.
No. I never stole the car. I never took her credit card.
You was a real gangster.
If
you wrap your hands around somebody's neck and just squeeze until they turn blue, you needed your behind beat. I'm sorry.
Oh, she did that, okay? But I'm gonna tell you what that did to me, because now that leads into my next situation with Willie.
Okay.
So now I'm in high school, okay?
Lord.
And I actually was cool with this girl. I'm not gonna say we were friends, but I thought we were cool, right?
Right.
So I don't know exactly what happened. It's funny because she saw me some years after this and she apologized. But anyway, we were in choir together, and I don't know what it was, but she just had the biggest problem with me this day.
You do have a unique sounding voice. It's a great sounding voice, but it's like your own voice. It's like your own tone and stuff. So,
and I'm like, "What you mad about? We over here singing gospel song. Like, where are you? What's the problem?" But she was angry with me, and I don't know what happened. I don't know why. And I went to go, because a part of choir is you have to actually write music. So I went to go and sharpen my pencil.
Right.
And when I got up to go and sharpen my pencil, I can't cuss on this show, but I'm going to beat her ASS. Right.
Well, you can. We're not in church, but you can. It's up to you. I mean.
But she said it for everyone else to hear.
Right, right.
She said, as soon as the bell ring, I'm going to beat her ass. Mm-hmm. And I come out with my pencil. I was like, who is she talking about? What's your?
Right.
And everybody was like, ooh. And I'm like, what happened here?
God. You the last one to get the memo.
I'm the last one to get that. So I'm just, right? I'm like, and then my friend was like, I say this loosely because she watched what happened. She's like, are you going to run after the bell? I'm like, run where? Run for what's going on? So, like,
that's crazy.
Yes. And I forgot, I think she said something crazy, like she was going to rip out my hair or something. And I flipped her off.
Like, yeah, you're a real gangster.
I flipped her off. I didn't know what you, I was like, girl, I don't know what your problem is. I flip you off, and I walked out.
Right.
So I'm walking to my next class. The bell rang. I'm walking to my next class. All of a sudden, from behind, she comes from behind me, and she punches me in the head. Imagine I'm walking, punch, head. That's
girls are some of the nastiest, most violent people I've ever seen in my life. And that's crazy.
And she gets, she tackles me. So she punches me in the head, right. And then she tackles me from behind. So I'm on the ground. Right. I'm not turned around. I can't. I'm just
right, it's a sucker punch. Yeah, it's a sucker punch. Yeah.
And she had some pounds on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm over here like. And I promise you, this is a whole inner monologue when I'm on the ground. I'm like,
if I get up.
If I turn around and I punch, because I was taller than her.
Okay.
But she was heavier than me. I was like, if I turn around and I punch her and I choke her, I'm going to have to deal with Yolanda when I get home. I know what happened last time.
And you would like, think Yolanda would be like, you can defend yourself.
For all parents out here, you need to make sure that you understand discipline your child and how it translates.
Right.
Because in my mind, I was like, I would rather her keep punching me than go home and be hit. I would literally rather that.
Did you get suspended anyway?
Of course I got suspended anyway.
Oh, so there you go.
I had like a scar and my lip was swollen.
Oh, no.
Because again, she's punching me and my face is on the ground.
Yeah, we got to finish this.
It's the face that was on the ground.
So I hate that you had to go through that.
Into the ground. So I had like a whole rock.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know who broke it up, but somebody pulled her off of me. And
wow.
They call my aunt. I get suspended.
That type of stuff hard to get over. I ain't gonna lie. That would be hard for me to get over.
But no. So my aunt comes, and she looks at my face, and she's like, "What happened?" And she's mad at everybody. Blah blah blah. I get in the car. She's like, "All right, we're gonna figure this out." I'm just silent. Like at this point, I'm like, because in my mind, I'm like, "Am I? Are you gonna hit me too?"
Right.
Like,
oh, what? God.
Like, right? I let her beat me because I didn't want you to hit me.
Right. Right.
So tell me why she stops. She gets ice cream. I come home
because she seen that you got your you got your butt.
Yeah.
She's so, like, oh, you lost this fight, baby.
Now we home. I get Advil. I get hot tea. She tells me to go upstairs and go to sleep. She gets the good pillow, not the regular pillow. She gives the good pillow from her bed.
Right.
Give me the good pillow. She gave me an ice pack. And I'm over here in bed like,
it's coming.
This actually isn't so bad.
Okay.
I feel like I made the right choice. She's being nice to me. And Yolanda, she's many things. She's a great woman.
That's
funny. But she's being nice.
Right, right.
And I'm over here like.
She got her own way she expresses that language.
Right.
And I'm over here like,
this isn't so bad. My face will heal. But keep in mind, what I learned from the first fight when I actually did defend myself, what I learned was I would literally rather have a problem in the world than a problem in my own home with my parents.
Ooh, she must have got the extension cord.
I'm so serious. When she, because she knew where I came from.
She tried to beat it out you.
She tried to, she's like, nah, you're not going to be out here in school
beating
people up like you still on the streets of Chicago. You are like.
So how many whoopings did you have to get? Because it obviously, to me, the way it sounds like, she wouldn't have to hit me no more than once or twice, and I'm good.
Period. Yeah. I'm done. I'm not fighting none of y'all no more. Okay? You tell you, like, I'm extra done.
Man.
I'd rather deal with anybody but Yolanda Veracruz.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But no, that was my experience. And it, again, it changes you. Like, consequences, discipline, all of that changes your full perspective of what you go through and how you move through it.
Yeah.
And so it was wild for me.
Wow. That's thank you for sharing that. But I hate that you had to go through that, you know.
Yeah.
I know there was a question that was going to be asked, you know. How do you address the bullying?
Yeah. Well,
there's so many different forms of bullying. I don't know if there's like a cookie cutter single answer for it. But what I'm seeing about bullying is we have lost the idea of boundaries, Christian boundaries specifically. And so we are not operating in the way that we're supposed to be operating in the love of Christ. Pastor and I have a podcast because we wanted to build an outreach, build a platform to highlight the struggles of the community and within the faith-based space. And we wanted people to feel seen. We wanted people to feel heard. We wanted to reach out to somebody that might be going through the struggles that we're feeling. We have our opinions.
Amen.
But at no point in time have we ever taken the methodology of bullying other people to agree with us.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, I feel in the spirit of Christ, if you feel like you have to bully someone, you're weak.
Amen.
These are signs of a small, weak person. I don't need anyone to agree with me to know what I'm doing is right if I have a relationship with Jesus and I'm following his instruction.
Amen.
And so that's what I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast. You may have a relationship, but what type of relationship is it? Are you strengthening it? Are you building it? Is it a coworker relationship? That's a relationship.
Yep.
Or is it, I am the bride of Christ? We are in a full-fledged relationship. We talk daily. I listen. I hear. I meditate.
That's a great analogy.
We are married.
Yep.
There isn't a day that I go without checking in and filling my cup with the Holy Spirit. Like, or is it I go to church every Sunday?
Mm.
That's enough. Or I don't even go to church every Sunday, but I'm a Christian because I used to go to church every Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, I read a Bible scripture 3 times last year. I'm a Christian.
Oh no! It's the Bible says that we're sojourners. It's a journey. We're pilgrims. We're navigating this life to the afterlife, and so yeah, it's not a one stop thing. It's an experience. There's something that you got to deal with every single day, and in fact, when you choose Christ, you probably heap more on yourself than you would had you not.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you become a target for everything that's anti-Christ.
Man.
Yeah.
This is not a walk for the weak.
No.
And bullying is weakness. Let's be very clear.
Yes. It's insecurity.
It's insecurity.
Yep. Yep.
You can't get validation, so now you are enforcing your will to feel validated.
I know you was going to ask the question about bullying in church.
Yeah.
And bullying takes all different types of forms, shapes, and sizes. But there are ways that bullying takes place in the church. And I work really, really hard not to create an atmosphere for that here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people, when they come to churches, we're all imperfect people, hoping to create the perfect church.
Mm.
God's church is perfect as people isn't, but we are the church.
Yeah.
And so people come from all different walks of life. You got people like cliques might form. You got people who have selfish, they grew up selfish.
Mm-hmm.
People who want attention. People who think they got better ideas and all different types of things. It's all so many different types of things. But you got bullying across the pulpit.
Yes.
Where you have preachers who will say things across the pulpit to try to get people to act or do or, you know, perform a certain type of way.
Mm-hmm.
You got people who will use religion and other people's faith to manipulate. That's a form of bullying.
The financial bullying.
Oh, yeah. If you don't give, you're going to hell or this and that. So I work really hard to be very approachable, to be very anti-bullying, you know, to create an atmosphere where everybody can be loved and accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why bullying takes place, I believe it's a spirit of the house. It's from the top down. And so I'm anti-bully. I don't believe in bully. Soon as I see it, I root it out.
Yeah.
You got people who will emotionally bully you.
Mm-hmm.
And the bullying don't always seem like physical, like we dealt with. It just be a manipulation.
Yeah.
You got people who are members of churches, even this church, because we're all imperfect. mm-hmm. where people will say things like, oh, don't nobody care about me, don't nobody this and that, and then they'll have you ripping and running for them and doing all these things because you're trying to show them mm-hmm. that not everybody's like that and God is good and you don't have to feel that way and all that other stuff.
Right.
And that's all to appease their emotional wounds. That's all for them to feel better about themselves. Mm-hmm. But when it's time to reciprocate, crickets, nowhere to be found. And exactly, nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found.
And here's where the manipulation, here's where the emotional bullying come in at. Mm. When you aren't doing that anymore, or they see you doing it with somebody else, they give you the cold shoulder, they start acting different, start giving you that moodiness, that little, that whatever that is in the air, that you start walking on eggshells and then you start trying to appease. Is everything all right? Do we need to talk? What's going on? And it's all just to manipulate you and to bully you and to get you feeling some type of way. And they might not even know exactly what they're doing, but it's working.
Yep.
And I hate that in churches. I stamp that out. When I see it, I call it out. And we got to communicate. We got to communicate. Because... So, I'm a child. I thought like you as a child. And I maybe all children look like that. Here it is. You were bullied. You were responding to a bully. But for every thing, there's a reaction, you mm-hmm. know, whatever causes effect. So, because you got in trouble, you choked a girl. You got in trouble at home. Mm-hmm. And so, what your aunt could have done in that scenario, in hindsight, is, hey, that was wrong. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have did that. I'm punishing you for doing this. Mm-hmm. Not punishing you for being bullied. It's okay to defend yourself, but you weren't hit. She was just saying words.
And that's why you know what I'm saying? Really bad.
Yeah, right.
That's why she was
and so, but if she would have communicated that to you, mm-hmm. then when the other girl tried you, you'd be like, okay, this is beyond words. I can beat up. Right. So while you on the ground, you were like, wait a minute, is this girl just hitting me? As opposed to you saying, you know what, I don't want my aunt, I'd rather deal with this. You would have got up and said, you know what, we about to sort this out. And I bet you she wouldn't have hit nobody else again. But, because you playing for keeps, you choking Negroes blue. Man, how a black person turn blue? That's bad. Was it black?
Yeah, she was black.
Ooh, you got
she was, and it's so funny. She was making fun of me for being light-skinned, but she was light-skinned too.
Well, no one. Okay, so, well, that helps me a little better. That's I mean, her route to blue wasn't that long because if she was dark-skinned and she turned blue, that's why I said she was dead. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
I remember when they pulled her into the principal's, I was like, ooh, you don't look so good.
Oh, my God. So you said she ended up apologizing?
No. The girl that punched me in the back head. Of the head.
Okay.
And I mean, maybe 6 years later.
Okay.
She saw me walking on the street, and she's like, I can't make this up. She said, I'm so sorry. I feel like I was demon-possessed that day.
She was.
She literally said that to me. Mm. She's like, I had no reason to hit you or hurt you. You didn't do anything.
People
egging her on
and all of that. Yep.
She's like, I feel like it was a demon. I don't even dislike you.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, thanks.
Yep. It was designed. it was designed to attack your self-esteem. It was designed to put you in a certain place. Because God knows who you are. He know what he created you. He know what he placed in you. And so if you look at all of the things that you encounter, it's all been to put you in a certain headspace, put you in a certain mindset, mm-hmm. to get you to feel insecure, less than, to feel like you need to fight and do more. I need to save myself. You know, mm-hmm. all of that type of stuff is all designed. Well, Satan uses those things.
Right.
To get you in a certain place.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're out of it, but wow.
I am too. God is good.
But see, you seem like you would have been me and you would have been friends in school because you probably was cool. Like, you was probably into, like, different, like, comic books and different things like that.
Literally.
And then I was, like, an outcast, so I kind of hung with that type of group. But if I would have saw something happening to you, I would have jumped in. I would have tried to fight, help, or whatever. I wouldn't have just let it. happen like that. That was woe unto them. I bet all of them are under a bridge somewhere.
I can't. No.
For messing
no.
with God's anointing.
We can't do that. I would have jumped in for you too. Yeah. Absolutely. Because I was not above fighting guys back then.
I mean, yo, you had a kung fu grip. If you can grab somebody until they blew, you got demon possessed.
I mean,
Jesus.
Don't talk about my mama. Don't do that. I wouldn't recommend it.
Have you seen Christian bullying?
Yes.
Give me an example.
Because
I need to know what that looks like.
Man, I've seen political Christian bullying. Oh, if you vote for this, you're not a Christian. Or if you don't vote for this, you're not a Christian. And it's like, instead of asking the person to justify their position based off of scripture or based off of prayer, and that's what we need to be doing.
Amen.
Stop accepting someone's opinion as the law of God.
Amen.
Ask them to justify their opinion by the law of God.
Amen.
That's what we need to be doing. I don't need to be bullying you.
Amen.
I need to be praying against a spirit that's causing you to think that death or war or poverty is a good thing.
Amen.
That's what I need. Help me figure out what I'm praying for today.
Amen.
Right? Justify it by the word of God or Ooh. Don't. That's it. I don't need to bully you about nothing. And in fact, when I ask you about it, you technically don't owe me an explanation.
You're right.
But if you're bold enough to give it, we going there. If you're bold enough to answer the question, we're going to answer these questions. We're going to pull up some scripture. You're going to have to explain to me how you got here.
You're right.
Right?
Wow.
But by no means do I get the right to say, you're not a Christian. No.
No.
You're obviously seeing things by a different perspective, and I don't know if that perspective is holy or not until you explain it to me. But until we can come to some understanding as to what Christ told us to be doing.
Come on now.
You're going to get this prayer. You're going to get this holy oil.
That's why I'm glad you're on my team, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, that standard that you have, that mentality, that's what's needed, man. That is what's needed.
That's got to be what it is.
People will come in here and try to do whatever they want to do.
Whatever they want. And it's like, no, every action that you take has a consequence spiritually. Every idea that you have, it has to be based off of what Scripture tells us we're supposed to be doing. That's what it is. I didn't make up the rules. I'm not here. I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in.
Yeah.
But I have a Bible.
Yeah.
That's what I got. And everybody that says that they are following Christ needs to be reading this scripture because it's giving us the instructions on how we're supposed to approach being social with each other.
Amen.
We serve a God that is so big and so loving that he said, hey, if you want to show me how much you love me, you got to love him.
Amen.
And her. And her, whether they look like you, whether they think like you, whether they eat like you,
yep.
That's how you show me you love me.
Amen.
Mind blown. All these other gods out here asking you to sacrifice babies so you can get some water. But our God is saying, no, if you want to show me love, you got to love everybody else. You got to give some of your water up to somebody else that
Come
needs some
now.
Water.
Come on now.
That's love. That is why our God is love. That is why there is no comparison. He is almighty. He is everything.
Yep.
And that's why I choose him.
Ooh.
I choose to serve this God. I choose to serve the God of love. That's my choice.
Amen.
And he will never take it from me. He'll never take it from you too. So we offer that you join in that spirit of love. But keep in mind, that's a commitment. You can't jump in and jump out of it.
Amen.
If you rolling with love, you can't be bullying other people.
Amen.
Whether it's their political affiliation, their mental struggle that they might have, and you and I know that we've seen mental health bullying inside of the church.
Oh, what? Of
we've
course.
Seen that all the time.
Yeah.
We've seen political. We've seen mental health bullying. We've seen financial bullying, and it's like we gotta stop it now.
Yep.
We don't need to be talking about every single political faux-pas. We need to address the root. And the root is, what are the people of God saying?
Yep.
What are the people of God doing?
Yep.
We are bigger than the government.
Yep.
Those
who are in government are supposed to be a part of us. Not we a part of them.
You ain't wrong. You ain't lying.
You know what I'm saying?
You so, ain't lying
man.
At all. So, yeah, today was about addressing the root of the problem.
You know, one of the things I do, I'm not going to say what I do, but what I try to I do as much as I can. One way to address bullying as far as from the male standpoint,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I always try to teach the young boys and the young men or anybody, depending any man, if they would give me audience to it, that men are supposed to be heroes. Ooh. We're supposed to be advocates. We're supposed to be like Jesus, ooh, be advocates. We're supposed to lay our lives down for others. You cannot be an advocate and a bully. You can't be somebody that's willing to sacrifice yourself for somebody else and be a bully.
Man.
The two is like oil and water. It won't exist. You can't be a hero and be a bully.
Period.
You know, the hero is the one who fights against the bully.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell the men, like, listen, when it comes to men, or I mean, when it comes to women and children in particular, we are heroes.
Amen.
That don't mean that we have the most money. That don't mean we're the strongest. That means that we're the ones who are supposed to make things better. Meaning, if there's violence in a situation, mm-hmm, the man of God is supposed to step up and it stops. It ceases right then and there.
Amen.
If somebody is making fun of somebody or doing that, it, like them young boys that joined the church, they, I think they're going to probably join next week because they were somewhere when he
speak
joined.
Speak it.
Yeah, yeah. Because he texted me. He was like, my family wanted to join too. I said, well, good. They can join tomorrow. Next week, Sunday.
Amen. Love it.
But those young boys, I'm going to teach them.
Yeah.
We speak truth to power.
Amen.
And we stand up for injustice.
Yes.
And so when you see somebody being mistreated, that don't mean that you go and take their place, but you stop it. You speak up. You see somebody being racist, you say, nah.
Absolutely.
That don't mean you fight. You might teach them, nah, bro, that ain't what that is.
Period.
You know, we love people.
Amen.
You know, that's what men are. We are heroes. That's why we're supposed to be leaders.
Yes.
Is because we're supposed to be heroes. And so that's what I do. I communicate, listen, a real man of God,
mm-hmm,
a real son of God is somebody who is anti-bully. You cannot,
yes,
be a Christian, in my opinion, a, mm-hmm, true Christian, and be a bully, because we are supposed to go to the least of these.
Yep.
And I'm seeing so many children, and it breaks my heart, young kids, preteens, committing suicide because bullying is overwhelming. They, you know, whether it's because, I mean, there was this one boy, he killed himself because they was accusing him of being gay, and he wasn't gay. He just wasn't into girls yet. But it was so overwhelming because he cared what his peers thought about him and what,
yeah,
they were saying, that it far outweighed what his parents was telling him, which was, it's okay. Their parents have a wealth of experience.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. It's going to blow over. They don't know what they're talking about. You don't have to worry about that. Ignore them. But in his mind, he's stuck on it.
Yeah.
And in his mind, he thought the only way to alleviate it is to kill himself.
Oh, Lord.
And in the letter, he explained why he attempted to kill himself, and that hopefully he was trying to teach them a lesson with his own life.
Oh, God.
Hopefully. Those who bully me, because they see what happened to me, they won't bully anybody else. So
Lord,
hopefully my death will serve as some type of change agent.
Mm-mm.
And I'm like, how in the world can you deduce that? As a 13, 12-year-old boy, how can you come up to that conclusion to where the best thing for me to do is take myself out because of bullying, and I'm going to use my life as a sacrifice to help those who bully me so they learn that to stop bullying, and maybe somebody else going to take their life. And I'm like, the pain. How do you get to that point as a 12, 13? And I've been through a lot.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we could talk about it, you know,
yeah,
at another podcast, from physical, sexual abuse, all different types of things,
mm-hmm,
as a young kid,
yep,
that I think created the atmosphere for me to be clinically bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, bullying, we have to address it. And it starts,
yeah,
in the home. It starts at the church. And we should be talking about it. We should be standing up for people when they're bullied. We should be giving people backbones. I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
My two nieces-in-law, Carolyn, she got two twins.
Yes. She's with them right now. Shout out to Carolyn.
Yep. All set in autumn. And they have two different personalities. Autumn is more quiet. Autumn is more quiet, but she likes to dance and sing. She's more of a creative. And Offset is more inquisitive. She nosy. She's smart. And she in everybody's business, talking, asking grown folks questions, everything. So Offset is the vocal one. Offset will say to her sister, "You're a liar." The other sister will be like, "Now, I used that as a, we was at the family reunion, and we was eating pizza, and one girl was like, I need another piece of pizza, or I didn't eat my pizza or something. And the other girl was like, "You're a liar." And then Carolyn corrected her. We don't say liar. And I understood that. But I said, I understand in correcting her. But you got to also give Autumn fight. You got to allow her to say to her sister, "I am not a liar."
Ah.
So sometimes, I said, sometimes when they fight, you can't break it up all the time because you might stunt one's growth.
Yeah.
So while the talkative sister is saying, "You're a liar, this and that," and the other one is in her shell, no, you telling her, no, if you're not a liar, tell her you're not a liar. You know, stand up for yourself. If you're not a liar, tell her you're not a liar. And sometimes we have to also not only root out bullying, but we got to infuse a righteous fight in our children. A righteous fight to where they stand up to injustice or stand up for themselves and don't be bullied. You don't have to be bullied.
Amen.
If you're doing right and what you believe in, you can stand up for yourself. Yeah. And if it's right, heaven and I will back you.
Yeah.
I think that's what we need to do.
I agree. You got to stand up to bullies. Yep. I'd say for children that are bullies, and that's got to be a hard pill to swallow if you're a parent and you find out that your child is a bully.
Because everybody don't think their child a bully.
You want to think your child is the best person ever. I get it. But if you come to the realization where it's like, no, my kid has been mean. My kid has done things that I haven't felt like I taught them. I'm going to recommend a couple of things, right? And again, I don't have all the answers. Pastor and I prayed before this podcast. I prayed this morning. I prayed for the Holy Spirit to speak. But one of the things that I can tell you for sure that has been transformative, when my family had, or the kids in my family were experiencing behavior issues, one of the things I said is, hey, you know what? Give them to me every other weekend. And what I did with them is I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go and we're going to volunteer and we're going to serve. We're going to feed the homeless and you're going to get in this car. You're going to come ready to serve. You're going to put this apron on. You're going to serve meals to those less fortunate. You're going to pass out water. You're going to pray before. You're going to pray after. And you're going to see with your own eyes how unbelievably privileged you are, because that could be you. And whatever superiority complex or whatever pain you were feeling on the inside that caused you to be so negative and mean to others, over time, it just melts away. Because you are now in service to others in need. And so your thought process, your perspective, I saw the change in these kids with my own eyes. It took some time, but it's like as a parent, you have to figure out, and this is what I feel that every parent should be doing. I feel like every parent should be taking their kid to go and serve.
Absolutely.
Every parent should be taking their kid
to
volunteer.
That's a great way to adjust perspective.
Adjust that. If you have behavior issues with your child, put them in the soup kitchen. Watch them work to serve and help other people. Watch them be so much more grateful for Christmas and holidays and birthdays. Watch them be so much more grateful for the leftover spaghetti in the refrigerator. Because they know now, they see now, they experience now what the world could be for them.
Amen.
And it's going to change the way they behave, period. So that's my number one recommendation. Number two is your kid might need to speak to somebody. Your kid may need a professional. We just saw that Illinois is the first state to make this mandatory. Every year, you're going to sit down and you're going to talk to somebody.
Excellent.
We need to be in tune with what's going on Excellent. The inside of your head. We need to make sure that you're okay. We need to make sure that you understand behaviors that are appropriate and behaviors that are inappropriate.
Yep.
We need to make sure that your environment at home is safe and healthy and your environment here in the school is safe and healthy. So ultimately, that may be your answer. You may need to find a professional to sit down with your kid, and because they have the education and the tools, they can learn more about what's happening on the inside.
And that makes a lot of sense, because you know, a lot of these school shooters and a lot of these mm-hmm. people who lash out are victims of being bullied.
Absolutely.
And they don't have any outlet. So if you get them some professional help or somebody with some tools to be able to see something, identify something, you know, maybe some lives can be saved or some lives can be changed around. So I'm all for that. 100%. I'm so thankful for Illinois. And I'm praying that Texas and the other states, you know, get on board, because mental illness is real. Our brains get sick. We're imagining things. People are staring in screens all day long. All of this oversensory stuff that's happening, blasting into your mind.
And we're becoming desensitized.
Yes. And then so you still, just like some people, the video game becomes real.
Yeah.
And now you got people doing GTA in real life because their reality has been broken.
I don't know if it's so much the game becomes real, but real life becomes fake.
My God.
Real life no longer has consequences because the life you committed to is inside the video game.
Man.
And that's not the way this works.
Yep.
Everything, and I mean everything, has consequences.
Yep.
Everything. I was going through a bout of depression, and I had a friend that was atheist, and we were both going through depression periods at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And it was, in retrospect, it was funny. He was depressed because he believed nothing mattered, mm-hmm. full on nihilism. And I was depressed because I know everything matters.
Amen.
And we were both equally depressed.
Amen.
But it's like, what do you do with that? Even on those spectrums, what do you do with that? Mm. If you believe nothing matters, you're sad because nothing matters. If you believe everything matters, every single decision is overwhelmingly overbearing, and you have so much anxiety and making about the wrong choice, you're going to be sad.
Amen.
But the way out of both of those scenarios is to say, no, Jesus is the way.
Every way.
The way, the truth, and the life. Amen?
Man, Jesus is the way.
Jesus is the way.
I heard this. It's this rap song. Jesus is the way. I'm about Jesus. If you ain't about Jesus, I'm going to hit you with this K. I said, you're going to hit him with the K.
You know, Pastor, any last thoughts you have on bullying before we wrap it up?
You know what? I don't have any last thoughts other than I'm thankful for this conversation, and I think it's going to move the needle a little bit. And Yeah, I think through you, we're going to have some anti-bullying initiative somehow, some way.
Through me?
Yeah.
Through Jesus. Yeah. Amen.
Through you. Through Jesus, through you.
I ain't a post child for nothing. We appreciate your time, Mental Health Warriors, for really giving us your ear and letting us be transparent to transformation. We hope that one of you was touched, and we sincerely hope that you take our experiences and what we're learning on our journeys with Christ, and hopefully it helps you in your day and in your week, because nobody deserves to be bullied.
Amen.
And we're stronger in Christ than we are in any other state.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Talk Peace. To you soon. Mwah.
Welcome to Unplugged Podcasts, where Jesus is at the center of every conversation. Join us as we explore the teachings of Christ and the impact on mental health, spirituality, and everyday life. Discover how faith in Jesus can help provide hope, healing, and purpose in a world full of challenges. Subscribe now on YouTube and your favorite podcast platforms to stay connected to the Unplugged community. Unplug from the world and plug into Jesus.